right? We're going to explain, we're going to take pasuk at each time and try and explain the depth and make understandable a little bit the Chumash. Chumash Rashi is very deep. I'm sure most of you realize that. And it speaks, and Torah is speaking about concepts. Any piece of Torah has to make sense. If it doesn't make sense, it's not a piece of Torah. We work on learning Gemara, we work on learning whatever we learn, right? So that it makes sense. It means it has to make sense to you. That means you have to use your mind. Faith, or belief, however you want to call it, right? Emuna in Lashon HaKodesh, right? Trust, which is a better word, means, as the Rambam says, to have emuna means to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The more you understand with your mind HaKadosh Baruch Hu and His ways, the more emuna you have. There's always going to be something about HaKadosh Baruch Hu you're not going to understand. Because by definition, He represents the truth in the world, and the closer you get to the truth, the closer you get to Him, or the truth, the closer you're going to be to the truth. But you can never get there. And our purpose in life is to come as close as we can to Him, and therefore understanding the reality of life and the reality of that truth. Since Torah represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, right? Therefore, this is intrinsically true. But since something which is infinite, by definition, cannot be put into finite words, so therefore, when you read Chumash, it can't contain in the words itself the complete truth. There has to be something missing the complete truth by definition. And the way it's written in a way that it somehow doesn't make sense. And from the not making sense of the Chumash to making sense of it, we get into the real truth. Behind the scenes truth. That's how it has to be. Because you can't write the whole complete truth in words. You can write it in words if God can do it. But if it's written in a way that, like for example, you can't write on something which is black. You can write chalk, white chalk, but if you have white paper, you can write black on white. The white is also necessary to understand the words. So when we're learning the Sfarah, the understanding of Chumash, we're learning the white, the black. You understand what I'm saying? You understand? So when we read a piece of Chumash, we always have to ask questions. Where people who ask questions, you know, two Jews, three opinions, right? At least. Look at the Knesset, it might be like multifold. But you understand what I'm talking about? So now we're learning Chumash. What we're going to try and do is see what's the problems with the Pasuk and how we're taking one before, it's taking Rashi, and how Rashi deals with those problems. Maybe not all the problems we see him dealing with. Maybe some problems we ourselves have to deal with. We're going to try and learn the Pasuk based on Rashi's commentary and try and understand what's the depth of what Rashi's saying. And when we don't understand Rashi, it's also Rashi's. We have to understand what he's saying. We have to rethink. Understand what I'm saying? So let's start. The first Pasuk says, Bereshit bara Elokim. Now I don't have to translate Bereshit. So it says, let's just say simple translation. In the beginning, God created et hashamayim, the heavens, the et haaretz, and the lands, or the, how you want to call it, the heavens and the earth. Right? So now, before we even start the Pasuk, we'll go to Rashi, and Rashi has a problem here. Now let's say, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak is Rashi's father. So it's going on the word Bereshit. So let's go to Rashi. Here, Rashi starts with this, the problem, why we start here. I mean, wherever you start, you can always ask that question, why are you starting here, right? So that's what first Rashi does. Why are we starting here? It's an important thing to know, right? Why are we starting with Bereshit? So let's see Rashi. So it says, you guys read the Rashis, it's clear? Yeah? If not, look in the English. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, says Rabbi Yitzchak, I'm going to translate. Lo hayet sarich. It wasn't necessary to start latchil, to start et haTorah, the Torah, ela meachodesh hazeh lechem, from the first mitzvah that the Jewish people were commanded, right? Which was, this is the month. This is the month to you. This is the new month to you. The first mitzvah of the Jewish people in Parshas Bo right? When the Jewish people left Egypt, right, or were leaving Egypt, right, before they were ruled, right, was shown the new moon of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, right, to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was Mekadesh the Chodesh. He made Kiddush HaChodesh. That's the first mitzvah of the Torah, says Rashi. What? So why don't we start? The question Rabbi Yitzchak, who is Rashi's father, has is, why doesn't the Torah start with the first mitzvah that was commanded to Israel? Okay. Why is that a question?
What is the first mitzvah?
The Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctification of the new moon by the Jewish people. So why is that a question?
Why is that a question?
What does it... That question assumes you're an understanding of what the Torah is.
It's a instruction for the mitzvot.
Right. So if I assume that what Torah is to teach us how to do mitzvot, which is God's will, that's what Torah is. So to start with the first mitzvah, which is God's will, the first commandment that was in the Torah to the Jewish people, correct? So that's the question. So now, this is, we're assuming the Torah is an instruction booklet that teaches us the ways of God, His Ratzon. So that's, first of all, what Rashi's told you. Okay, that's what Torah is. Now let's see, so if that's the case, we have this question. Shehi mitzvah rishona, this is the first mitzvah, shenitztavu by Yisrael, the Jewish people were commanded. Umatam, and what's the reason, according to this understanding? Patach b'breishis. Why is it that the Torah begins with Bereishis? It should have started with the first mitzvah. What are you, all this story of the creation of the world? What is this whole story about Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, right? All the 12 Shvatim. What do we need it? Going into Egypt, coming out of Egypt. Well, coming out, this is, what do we need all this for? Write it a little bit, if you want to say a history book. Okay, fine, but the Torah is not a history book. The Torah is a teaching of God's will. So just give it to us. Just say, do this, and do this, and do this, and do this, and finished. Right? Good question? You hear the question? Okay. Now let's see the answer. The answer is, Mishum, because, Koach ma'asav higid la'amo. The strength of his actions, he revealed to his people. Letet lahem, what was the strength to create the world? And the world belongs to him. Letet lahem nachalat goyim, to give them the inheritance of the non-Jews, or of the peoples of the world. Goyim literally means peoples of the world. Yisrael means Klal Yisrael. Goyim means people of the world. Right? For us now, it's non-Jews. She'im yomru, that if we would say, if they would say, umos ha'olam, the nations of the world, li Yisrael, to the Jewish people, listim atem, you're thieves. Go down to the 1967 borders. You're thieves. You took it away from these people. Aren't they saying that? Right? Zionism is racism. I don't know. Right? Whatever. But it doesn't matter what they say. Right? But the very fact, that's what they're saying. If the people of the world say, you stole this land. One second. Is that true? Yes, it is. When we came to Eretz Israel, right? It's not for you, eh? Right? This, when we came to Eretz Israel, there were people living in Eretz Israel. God commanded us to conquer the land and take it from them. Because we were promised it by Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What do the people living in the land care about our God promising it to us? As far as they're concerned, we stole it from them. Right? So from their point of view, they're right. Right? If, you know, we just went into, you know, you decided, you know, God decided to give me America. So, you know, I come from wherever I come, and I take my army, go to America, and said, this is my land, because God said so. Right? What are the Americans going to say? You stole the land from us. They're going to fight back. Are they wrong to do that?
Probably not.
No. So... okay, so listed, we are listed. We did take the land from them. So, what's the answer? So let's see. Listim atem, Shekavashtim Arzot Shivagoyim. You conquered the land of the seven nations that were living there already. It was their land. Hem Omrim Lahem. So we come, we say to them, Kol Haaretz, the whole land, the whole world, right? All the lands. Shele Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's God's. Because He created them. Hu Baram, He created them. V'natna, and He therefore can give them. La'ashe Yashar Be'enav. Whoever is straight in his eyes. Biritzono, in his rotson. Nitna lahem, He gave it to them. U'biritzono, and in his rotson, in his will. Natla mehem, He took it from them. V'nitna lanu, and He gave it to us. Okay? So now, you're smart guys. Now that the UN decided that they're going to give the Arabs, right, or the Palestinians, till the 1967 borders, we have an easy answer. Let's go then. Tell them Chumash Rashi. The world belongs to God, and we're the Jewish people, we're His favourites. Tough luck, it's ours. And they're going to listen, aren't they? Right?
Wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't that be nice? Look, Rashi says that. You understand this answer? Remember, this is God talking to us. This is Torah. That means this makes sense. Does it make sense to you?
It sounds very simplistic on the surface.
Right?
It makes sense, though.
Why it makes sense? No one's going to listen to you. If this is going to go, if this is a speech to the UN, it's a waste of time. Come on. They're going to laugh at you going to UN. Go to college campuses. It's going to work. This is our land. God gave it to us. What are you? You're hallucinating? What are you? Who are you? They're going to laugh at you. Unless it's a Mormon, Christian, or something like that, right? And they believe anyway whatever they believe, right? I'm not saying they're wrong, but the chosen people, etc. But other than that, nothing's going to happen. So what sort of answer is this? First of all, is Rashi coming to tell us what we told at the UN? I doubt. He's come to teach us a bit of Torah. He's not trying to teach us what we go and answer the going. So what is he trying to teach us? Let's try. He's probably trying to teach us what gives us the right to have that land in God's eyes. Now let's look at Rashi a little bit better. First of all, is this the first mitzvah that the Torah was given? No. We have a few mitzvahs. You have the mitzvah of Peru Ravu, to be fruitful and multiply. You have the lotas of Gidon Asher, right? There are other mitzvahs in the Torah before this first mitzvah. So why does Rashi say, Rashi knew Chumash. He knew the whole of Shas, right? He knew the whole of Torah Kula. He knew Chumash, right? Certainly, it's the same parasha as well, right? He went to a Hebrew day school. At least, right? So he knew. So why did Rashi make this mistake? If we understand, look at Rashi a bit better. It says, HaMitzvah Rishon Shenitzavu by Yisrael, the Jewish people. Provo, the Jewish people weren't given it. Gidon Asher wasn't a Jewish people. It wasn't given to the Jewish people as a nation, a national mitzvah. Kiddush HaChodesh is a national mitzvah. What is the significance that Kiddush HaChodesh has to be the first mitzvah? What's the significance of that being the first mitzvah? What is Kiddush HaChodesh? The new moon is how we decide time. There's 2 days that the new moon could possibly be. It depends on us deciding it. Because it's 29 and a half days. You know how it works? So it could be the 29th, it could be the 30th. Depends on the month. But as soon as the Jewish people, the Eidim, see the new moon and they come to Beis Din, and then Beis Din say, Mekudesh, Mekudesh, it's now the new moon. Beis Din decide when it's a new moon. That means, if today was a new moon, or tomorrow's a new moon, depends when your Bar Mitzvah is going to be. When you're, right? Depends certain halachas. And there's Yerushalmi, the Shach brings in Yeridayim. That if a person is what's called a betula, right? If a child before 3 years has relations, it's not considered a relationship. It's not considered he lost femininity, right? But if, say, the new moon was changed, right? Say it was the day that they decided basically to make the new moon the day afterwards, the mitzias, the fact of the halacha changes, it's not considered that they lost. If it was before, it's considered they lost. So if the way we choose the new moon affects the reality of the Torah world, i.e. our involvement in the decision of the new moon is our involvement of God's expression in the world. Significantly, symbolically, it represents God represents the sun, and the Jewish people represent the moon. The reflection of the sun on the moon, right? One second. Symbolically, what does the new moon represent? The sun represents God's radiance, and the light that we see at night is the reflection of the sun in this world. The Jewish people represent in this mitzvah, that's the concept of the Kiddush HaChodesh, we are the ones who are expressing God's radiance in the world. That's the purpose of our mitzvahs. That's the purpose of the Jewish people in this world. And that's why that's the first mitzvah. You understand? The purpose of the mitzvahs, and that's why this is the first one, because it expresses this idea. The purpose of the mitzvahs is for us to express God's being in the physical world. We're His shluchim. We're His messengers. We're the ones who are going to actively express His will in this world. And that's what that mitzvah represents. That's why the sun and the moon is a reflection of the sun, is the thing which brings the light into the time of darkness. The world is called olam, ne'elam, hidden. God's presence is hidden in this world. We are the ones who radiate His presence in the hidden world. And that's the purpose of Jewish people, and that's the purpose of the mitzvahs. For us to be a light to the nations of the world, right? In order to be a light to the nations of the world, we need to have a land in which we conduct ourselves in a proper way. Now, you understand what I'm saying? So the nations of the world can come and see how we live and learn from us. Now let's go and see. So that's the first reason. So now we understand it should have started with the first mitzvah. And why it's specifically that mitzvah. You with me? Still, Rashi says, no. No. Why do we start with Reishis? Koch ma'asav higid lamo. The strength of his actions he wanted to reveal to his people. And to tell. So when the goyim come and they tell you, listim atem, you stole this land. It's God's. And God gives it to who's yashar be'einav, who's straight in his eyes. He took it from you and gave it to us. That's what Rashi's answer is. It's still not an answer. Still not an answer. Now we understand now fully why you should have started with the mitzvah of the new moon. And we understand what's the purpose of the Jewish people. Right? And we understand being a people, of being with that purpose, you need a land. Right? To behave as a nation so the world can learn from you when they come and see you. We don't have jihads. We don't have crusades. We have people coming to our land and seeing how we live and learning from our actions and from our behavior how to live a proper life. And when there was Beis HaMikdash, right? You can go around anywhere in the world, most places in the world, most capitals in the world. A child cannot go out at night by himself. Play in the playground, most capitals of the world. In Yerushalayim, in religious neighborhoods, right? The doors are left open. Children play in parks. Little kids, till night. Kids, if you see in the morning, go to school by themselves. Little kids crossing the road. I'm sure you've seen that if you've roamed around far enough, right? That doesn't happen elsewhere in the world. And this is without Beis HaMikdash. This is without the full reality of God's presence in the world. There's a difference. It's a clear difference. People go to a Sabbath table and they see how the dynamics of the family. They learn. Most boys become frum, not only because they've seen a Sabbath table, but after, you know, they read the books. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that, you Shabbos, right? That's what the books say. Then all of a sudden they come to the house of someone and they don't feel that they can't do anything. There's a good meal, better than they've had before, right? There's nice dessert, there's nice conversation, it's interesting, the nice kids, everyone's happy there. No one looks depressed because they can't do all these things. Whereas they might go to someone non-from house And they might not, the family won't be at home together. Or they're watching TV together, or the newest video together. And they're not even talking. Here they're talking. Here that they talk, they read the parasha with the kids, the husband and the wife talk together. It's a complete difference. There's something that there is in seeing a way of behavior that makes you realize, that makes sense. You understand? That's how we are a light to the nations. We don't convince through force, we convince through example. Light, right? We don't take a torch to someone, you just have the torches here and the light just emanates in of itself. It shares its glory with everyone who's around it. Okay? Now, given that fact that we can understand we need a nation, we need a place to be. So we understand the concept of a land. Now let's see what gives us the right to have this land. Well, I don't say right, the schus, the merit to have this land. Now let's try and understand Rashi again. Let's read Rashi a little bit clearer. So Rashi says, Shim yom yu umas ha'olam li Yisrael, listimatem, your stealers, that you took you this land from the seven nations. What they say? Everything belongs to Kodesh Baruch Hu. He created it. That's why it teaches us gracious. And he gives it La'asher yasha be'inav, who's straight in his eyes. What's the word Yisrael? The word Yisrael is yasha kel. You hear something? Straight with God. Yasha be'inav is straight in the eyes of God. So if you behave straight with God, you behave like Yisrael, you get Eretz Yisrael. It's not talking about what we tell the UN. It's talking to us and telling us, you know when the non-Jews are going to come and tell you, listim atem? When you're not Yashar Kel. When you're not straight with God. When you're not Yisrael. When you don't behave like Yisrael. What gives you the merit of Eretz Yisrael? And then they won't ask you. They won't tell you, you're listim. When you're Yashar Kel, when you're straight with God. When you're doing the mitzvahs, when you're behaving like Yisrael. If the highlights of your country is, what's it called, Dizengov or falafel or shawarma, which is any Arab thing, right? Then it's matim to have Palestine. But if what makes you in this land, why this land? Because this is the place where Kodesh Baruch Hu connects to the world. The Beis HaMikdash is where Kodesh Baruch Hu connects. This is the place where Kodesh Baruch Hu emanates his Shekhinah to the whole world. If we're the messengers, if we're his shluchim to emanate this radiance, this is the place it's to be irradiated, because this is the way he connects to the world. What gives us that merit to be in this land which the emanation comes from? Only if we're straight with Kodesh Baruch Hu. Only if we're his messengers. If we're not his messengers, then we're not doing our purpose in being in this land. It's not for us. Then we really stole it. Now you understand the Rashi? Makes sense? He's telling us something very, very deep. That every time we have a problem with the non-Jews in the world, telling us problems, saying, you, this is not your land, it means we're not behaving like Yisrael. If we were to behave like Israel, this problem wouldn't be around. So you can make 100 videos about what the Arabs do, what they don't do, and how wrong they are. It won't work. It won't work. Because God's the one who's doing this. He's reminding us, and this is the way he reminds us, through the non-Jews, listim atem. And we're supposed to realize when the goyim say listim atem, that we're not Israel. And if we don't realize we're not behaving like Yisrael, it'll continue. Whatever means or things we do will not help. And the word listim atem will be a bigger word, and a bigger word. But it'll happen. Because it's not the non-Jews who are doing this. This is a Kodesh Baruch Hu telling us, this is the condition you get the land. To be Klal Yisrael, to be Yashar Kel in Eretz Yisrael, because from here emanates my radiance, and you are those emanators. You understand? It's very simple. That was a free lesson in politics. international medieval, Middle East politics. I gave you the answers. I just explained to you that nothing's going to help. Nothing will help unless we straighten ourselves out. You want things to be, right? A little easier than what you learned, right? But that's how it is. That's the metzias of the world. That's how the world works. That's how it's instilled. Now, there's more complications because I'm not explaining this now, but when you learn more Chumash, you'll understand more about the different nations, the tchunot, the way different nations behave to Klal Yisrael, and how all these tchunot come from Klal Yisrael be'etzem. That which the Jewish people do creates the reaction of the goyim. So if you see a certain reaction from the goyim, you actually know the problems in Eretz Yisrael. There's another question to be asked. What's this question? Okay, so now we know why we have the beginning of the psukim to explain that God created the world. And since it's His world, He can decide who to give it to. But why do we need the whole of Chumash, all the stories of Avraham, of Yitzchak, of Yaakov, right? Of Yosef, of the Shvatim, of the tribe. What do we need the whole of Chumash Bereishis? You explain to me why we need the beginning of Bereishis to explain the creation that God created the world, but you don't need the rest of it.
You do.
Why? Let's tell me why. So you're explaining as follows. Why do we need the whole of Chumash Bereishis? Says the Reb Chaim Vital. The Reb Chaim Vital says that why, before the laws, comes the midas, the characteristics of a person. The midas is before the laws. The laws are expression of the midas. If a person has, in theory, proper and good midas, it'll be easier for him to keep the Torah. If he has good character traits, it'll be easy for him to keep the Torah. We need, now that we know what's the purpose of the Jewish people, to be expression of God's will, the beginning of Chumash Bereishis is Torah's Hamidus. It's Seif Hamidus, the Ramban says, Nachmanides says. It's the Seif of the character traits. From Avraham we learn about Chesed. From Yitzchak, we learn about Din, strict justice. From Yaakov, we learn about Tiferes, truth, beauty. From Yosef, we learn about Yisov, wherever it is, Mishneh L'Malchus, etc. We learn all the Shvatim have their own specific midas. So we learn all these things from Chumash Bereishis, because it's like you're saying, it's like if we go in the correct way, in the right way, yeah, and we learn the proper direction that the others teach us, then the Kabbalah and mitzvahs, doing the mitzvahs, will be automatic, will be easier. So Chumash Bereishis is not only here for telling us that God created the world, it's also the basis for Kabbalah Satorah. It's also the basis for keeping the Torah. Because good midas, and that's what Chumash Bereishis teaches us, the ways of the others, is how the mitzvahs are then easy for us to keep. Not only that, the Ramban says that what happened to our fathers in Chumash in Bereishis is simen lebanim, is a sign to the children. How they conducted their lives brings on signs for the children afterwards. Example, Avraham Avinu did according to the Ramban, did a sin in that he went to Mitzrayim. And because of that, says the Ramban, because of a famine, the Jewish people had to go into Mitzrayim and be in Golus. That's what Ramban says. So he said every single thing that happened to the others is like a blueprint, it's like a mark, right? In Jewish history, it's a sign of how things are going to be mishtel shel, how things are going to fall later on and in a bigger impact to the Jewish people. So when we're learning the others, we're learning intrinsically. When we're learning Bereishis, we're learning the shorish, the source of how the world is working, at least the Jewish world. And obviously you'll see, if you learn about Esau, the non-Jewish world, about Yishmael, you learn about the Arab world. All the worlds, how the tchunot, the behavior of the people in the world, you learn from Bereishis. It's a very, if you want to learn politics, you have to learn Chumash Bereishis. Truth is, you have to learn a lot of things, you have to learn Chumash Bereishis. metaphysics, the whole world, it's the Chumash Bereishis. The Yisodot, the foundations of everything is here. Then the Torah is mishtalshel and expresses specifically to the Jewish people the expression of God's will. So now we understand Rashi. Now Rashi makes good sense, I hope. Yeah? You with me? So now let's do the next Rashi. So it says, Bereishit bara. Now here we have a grammar. As soon as we start the Torah, we have a grammatical error. What? God doesn't know grammar? Bereishit bara.
First two words.
As soon as we start with a grammatical error. Can you imagine a bestseller? I mean, the Bible must be one of the bestsellers, right?
Yeah.
Right? It's a best one. It doesn't matter. So long as it's the same one, it didn't add or subtract stuff, right? It says Bereishit bara. Right? It doesn't make sense grammatically in Hebrew.
At the beginning created?
In the beginning
created.
The beginning created. In the beginning created. It's not saying in the beginning of creation. That's not the word. Because then we say, let's look at Rashi. We say Bereishon. Rashi asks this question. Bereishit bara. Let's see Rashi. Ein hamikra hazeh. This pasuk doesn't. Ein omer ela darshuni. It doesn't make sense on a simple level unless I go to a drosh level, an allegorical level, because there's a grammatical error here. Kamoshi katu, Raza, like rabbi teachers. Okay, we're going to see these are the answers. Right? Why is this? So let's see Rashi first. So Rashi says, basically, this word doesn't make sense. Okay, so Rashi is giving an answer. Before we get to the answer, it doesn't make sense because Bereishit means in the beginning, He created. Right? It should say in the beginning of. Bereishona, in the beginning of. Bereishona, in the beginning. Bara Elohim, God created. Right? Et HaShemayim Ve'et HaAretz, the heavens and the earth. It doesn't say that. This is what's called Smichus in Hebrew. Right? Like you say, you know, you have a taf at the end, it's called smichus, beginning of. In the beginning of, He created.
Beginning of what?
Beginning of what, yeah. It's the beginning of the creation of the world, God created. It shouldn't say the beginning of, He created. That makes sense in English? Mm-hmm. Beginning of, He created. So it's completely grammatically incorrect. So Rashi says, the first Rashi says, don't read it in the beginning of. Read it. The Beit, instead of reading in, read it as Beit Bishvil, because of. Because of Reishis, whatever Reishis is, because of something which is called Reishis. Reishis means my first. Because of my first, Bara Elohim, God created the heavens and the earth. I.e., Rashi is saying, read it as follows. Bishvil Reishis, because of that which is called my first, I created the heavens and the earth. So what's Rashi telling us? The purpose of creation. That's what Chumash is telling us. The world was created for my Reishis. For my first. What first? So Rashi brings us Chazal. Rashi says, Reishis Rabbah. It's Agarata. Bishvil HaTorah. For the Torah God created the world. Shenikrat Reishis Dalko. The beginning of His ways. That's the Torah. The Torah is the beginning of God's ways. So the world was created for the revelation of the Torah. That's the purpose of the world. Bishvil Yisrael. For the Jewish people. Shenikru Reishis. They're also called Reishis. They're also called His first. What first? Reishis Tvuato. His first produce was the world created. Now, I want to ask you a question. According to this, do we believe in equality?
Yes.
Why was the whole world created? Why was China created? Why was America created? Why was Asia created? Why was Soviet Union created? All the people in them, all the animals, all the atmosphere, all the galaxies, all the stars, everything. What was it created for? It was created for the Torah and for the Jewish people. Doesn't sound like equality if you ask me.
Oh, now, primarily.
So, how many Jews are there? 14 million? How many Chinamen are there? 1,000, 1 billion? So the whole world was created for 14 million Jews. And he did create the Chinamen as well, and the rest of the world. And the 2 billion people in the world, and the animals, and everything around, was just created for the Jews. So we don't believe in equality. Now let me tell you another Gemara. One second, let me tell you another Gemara, just to get you guys a little bit more confused, and then you'll see the answer. The Gemara in Bracha says, the whole world was created, kedai hulo, it's efficient. Was created for who? Yirei Shamayim, a person who's a Yirei Hashem, who has fear, deep fear and awe of Kodesh Baruch Hu. The whole world, and the Gemara goes on, and everyone was created lesavat lezeh, to accompany him. That means, you, me, everyone was created for the biggest Yirei Shamayim, the biggest person fearing God. That's what the Gemara says. So we have, it's created for the Torah, created for the Jewish people, there's other chazals, created for tzaddikim, for righteous people, created for the Yirei Shamayim. One person, the whole world was created. Doesn't sound like equality to me. We do not believe in equality. I'm sorry. Equal rights. That's something you learn in the UN. So what do we believe? Does this make sense to you? It shouldn't. So it's not a piece of Torah. If it doesn't sit with you, it's not a piece of Torah. It means you have to make understanding what this means. Now we're going to explain soon. Yeah. Well, there's a very important Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, I think. Yeah. So the Rambam explains there. The Rambam says as follows. Everyone has free will. And everyone can be a tzaddik, a righteous person like Moshe Rabbeinu, and a rosha. I think he says, like Ahab, I forgot now. He can be a big rosha as well. He can be a big rosha as well. He has free will. Rasha, evil person. He has free will. Okay. Yeah. He can be in between as well. But let me tell you something. Not so simple. It's the hardest place to be in between, because Chazal tell us in different places that if you work, you can be a tzaddik. If you leave yourself alone, you're going to deteriorate. You're going to become a rasha. You have to work against the tide. The normal tide is to go down, to become more and more physical. If you leave yourself alone, you're going to become more and more physical and become more and more of a rasha. So really, there's only two choices. Or work and become a tzaddik, and you'll fall. Whichever you fall, tzaddik will come. And you'll fall, and you get up, and you work more. Or leave yourself, and you'll become a rasha. That's how the world works. That's the mystery of the world. Okay, anyway. Now, come on, you guys. How can you be a tzaddik by Moshe Rabbeinu? Lo kam b'yisrael k'moshe. We didn't have a prophet. The Chumash says, we didn't have a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. No one could be like Moshe Rabbeinu. He had a speculorium me'ira. He had clarity. He spoke to Kodesh Baruch Hu, panim el panim diber Hashem. What's the Rambam saying? You can be like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Neged Chumash.
That's prophecy, no?
Well, so what's tzaddik?
You can't be a prophet.
That's the answer. You can't be a prophet like him. You can't be on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. But you can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. What does it mean to be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu completed his life. He was humble mikol adam. He expressed himself in the fullest way. Everyone can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu and express himself in the fullest way. You don't have to be the level of the biggest rabbi to be the biggest Yirei Shamayim, to be the biggest tzaddik. Everyone given who he is, given his trials, given what he has to work on, everyone can be that level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Everyone. You understand what I'm saying? Everyone can be that. So everyone can be this biggest Yirei Shamayim. And therefore, by definition, we have equality of choice, of opportunity. So what do we believe in? We believe in equal opportunity, so to speak. And that equal opportunity, everyone can be a tzaddik, like Moshe Rabbeinu. Even the goyim. Now how can that be? If you're born a Jew, you have 613 mitzvahs. If you're born a non-Jew, you only have 7. But the non-Jew can become a ger. Unklus the ger. How many gerim? Rabbi Akiva was ben gerim. How many gerim we had? Not that we fight a person to become a ger, not that we threaten him to become a ger, to become a convert. He has the equal opportunity. He comes from a lower place. But the place he'll get to will be much higher. And he'll be judged from where he went to where he went. And he might be in a higher level in the world to come. And therefore the world was more created for him than even the biggest rabbi. Because the place he was at, that he went to, was much higher than where this person started and where he went to. You understand? So we don't believe that everyone's equal in terms of where they're holding. But we do believe in equal opportunity in the sense that where you're holding to where you're going to, the growth that you do, that's what defines you in the world to come. And that which is what inherits you for the world to be created for you. We can all be the biggest Yirei Shamayim. We can always all be at the highest level in the world to come. We can all be in the same yeshiva as Moshe Rabbeinu. In the same place in the world to come as Moshe Rabbeinu. If we're tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, we won't be on the same level of prophecy as him. Or the rabbi that's around in our time. We won't be on his same level. But because we believe in equal opportunity in terms of where, how far we're growing, right? That's the equality we believe in. We can be on the same level. The world is kedai for us. Now, why is it the world was created for the Torah? Because the whole purpose of the world is to express God's will. And that's the purpose of the world. When it said the world was created for Yisrael, because Yisrael are the main vehicles through which God's will is expressed. That's the reason the Chazal tell us it was created for tzaddikim, because tzaddikim are those people who express properly God's will, or for Yirei Shamayim, because that's the person who ultimately expresses God's will in a complete way. But basically what this pasuk is teaching us is the purpose of creation. The mistake in grammar is telling us, why is the world created? What was the purpose of the creation of the world? To express God's will in it. That's the purpose of our creation. And the more we express God's will in the world, the more the world was created for us, because that's the purpose of the world. And now Rashi makes full sense. You with me? Makes sense now?
100%.
Okay, ask your question. Yeah. What's the question? So then don't use the word Bereshit in the beginning of God created. He created Elohim, God created. Don't use it like that. Say, base is Bishvil. Because of Reish is now a noun. Because of the first, what's the first? His first ways, his first produce, which is the Jewish people, the first ways, which is the Torah. That's the purpose of creation. For this Reish is, he created the world. So the purpose of the creation is for the Torah, that his will would be expressed. And who's the expressor of his will? The Jewish people. That's the purpose of creation, i.e., the Pasuk is teaching us the purpose of creation. And if you live a life which expresses that purpose, then the world was created for you. Because that's the reason God created the world.